Similarly, one that we often breeze over is limitational liability. And of course, we don't really breeze over it, right? We do look at the number and say, is that enough? Or how does that affect the ability to bring claims? But I think something that we have a tendency sometimes to breeze over, and here's a typical boilerplate, you've all seen them, is the fact that there's a lot of words in there. And these words mean something, and particularly these words mean something. Indirect, incidental, consequential, liquidated, special, exemplary. All of those concepts, all of those are attempting to address a type of damage, which if you ask litigators who work on damages, will tell you have very specific meanings. And those meanings are all very state dependent. And in fact, the reason these boilerplate clauses tend to use so many words is because they're trying to capture various ways different states characterize damages, but they don't necessarily match up at all to the state you've selected. In fact, Texas doesn't use a lot of these terms. So some of these terms don't have established meaning in Texas, and Texas uses different terms that aren't in this boilerplate. And just as an example, Texas breaks damages up into like three types: actual damages or compensatory damages, the way the statutes talk about them, and there's economic and non-economic versions of those, right? And then there's nominal damages, which are just kind of like costs and fees and things like that. And, whoops, I think I skipped one. Did I? No. And then there's exemplary and punitive, right? If you notice, and again, I won't go deep into the Texas law on all of these things and where these damages are articulated and the case law defining them, but if you notice, the Texas terminology, you know, nominal, compensatory, those aren't in this. We're not talking about those things in this clause using Texas terms, right? Now, that's not to say the clause isn't effective or broken necessarily. I mean, I think there would be an exercise of saying, well, the clause talking about, you know, penalties and, you know, or Texas, is that a special damage or an exemplary damage, you know, in Texas? But it's not mapped precisely. And in fact, I think if you have a significant limitation of liability issue, it probably is a good idea to have someone take a look at the damage, you know, structures in the state under which the contract is governed and try to map your limitation of liability damage categories to the actual law and the way the state refers to them, so that you're not asking a judge to take some of these terms that aren't used in their state and try to interpret them in ways that might not work out for your client. Some other things I think to think about on limitation of liability clauses. Can't believe I use such small print knowing that I can't read it. Obviously be specific about the types of damages based on that state. This is kind of a no-brainer, but something to remember is most states have some version of a conspicuousness requirement. That's why these things are in all caps or bolded some type. But once again, if this is really important to you and it's a huge issue in your negotiation, you might want to glance at, you know, the particular requirements that states have, because as you might expect, each state may articulate these requirements differently. You know, some states may say it should be bolded or underlined, you know, and while, you know, I don't think the pitfall there is probably not as severe as I'm making it sound. I mean, I think that if you take a good crack at making conspicuous, you're probably okay most of the time, but if it's really important, you know, and someone got you under New Jersey law or Montana law or something you don't know anything about, you know, it probably behooves you to take a look and say, you know, hey, you know, is there a quick way to find out how to make my limitation of liability provision conspicuous enough in that state? Am I tripping up any particular rules? And by the way, another thing I just want to remind people of, because I think this is really important, is there's an interplay between limitation of liability, particularly when it comes to licensor's perspective, and what that leaves them for a remedy for certain types of licenses, particularly irrevocable licenses. Many times, you know, licensors take great comfort in the fact that, well, if something goes wrong here, part of my arsenal of remedies or leverage I may have is terminating the agreement. But that's not a given remedy. That's a remedy that comes about from language in the contract that gives you that right. So for example, if you agree to some boilerplate language that says a license is irrevocable, There's an argument, I think a pretty clear argument, that the licensor doesn't have the right to terminate upon breach or bad behavior of the licensee because the license is irrevocable, which then makes the damages the sole remedy. And if there's a limitation of liability that's not sufficient, if you say, well, we're going to limit liability, it may be the cumulative amount of the license fees, and it's an irrevocable license. If a claim arises early in the relationship where license fees have not been substantial and it's irrevocable, the licensor is sitting with, they've only paid $100,000 or $50,000 of fees so far, but they've gone out there and spread my IP to the world without permission. I can't terminate the agreement, which is my big leverage, and I can only collect $50,000 because that's what we agreed to in the limitation of liability. So when licensors agree to irrevocability or don't have specific language in the agreement that allows for termination on breach and then talks about the effect of that termination being, for example, that you can't use the licensed IP anymore, then you really need to be focusing on the limitation of liability clause, because that's it. That's all you got. An insubstantial amount there, or a clause that takes away exemplaries and all those things that we're kind of used to giving away because everyone says, oh, those are scary, right? Well, they're scary, but they may be really important if you have an irrevocable license as your only way of recovering against harm that the other side has caused you.